Show, Senator Frank, Senator Jarl, Senator Sturgiluski, Vice Chairman Petula, and myself is present. The first bill before us today is SB 545. The bill sponsor is here, Mr. Senator Jarl.
Thank you.
We do have Senator Jarl on teleconference, Reed Oswald. So with all of you, use your mics, please.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Senator Jarl, Senate District N. Appreciate the committee introducing Senate Bill 545 and also bringing the bill up in a timely manner. And the bill basically would establish a critical habitat area on an island called Marmot. And it's located basically in the northeastern end of Kodiak Island. The critical habitat does not include the entire island, but is limited to a narrow strip of the land running the length of the east side of the island, and it extends out into the ocean a mile and a half. And the main purpose of the critical habitat is to protect the island's stellar sea lion population. Marmot Island is located, is the location of Alaska's largest sea lion rookeries, and base, where it's been identified that sea lion pups are born and reared. The bill is relatively self-explanatory. The reason that this came about was because of the decline in the population of the stellar sea lion for one reason or another, and also it's the reaction to the National Marine Fisheries Service and the adoption of an emergency regulation that places the stellar sea lion on the threatened species list, which is the next step for this would move it to an endangered species, which could cause problems not only on Marmot but on in the fisheries related to the activities in and around Marmot Island or in the Gulf of Alaska. And we have been working with people that have been concerned about the establishment of a critical habitat, and we do have Mr. Reed Oswald on here. We have taken into account some of the concerns that he had, and as a result, we have a committee substitute for your consideration here. Probably as the hearing progresses, we could address the significant changes in there. One item I might mention, Madam Chairman, is the bill does include a 15-year sunset on the critical habitat. And the reason I did that or suggested that, Madam Chairman, was that in meetings that we've had with Fish and Game and National Marine Fisheries representatives, they were looking at having some indication in about from a 10 to a 15-year period as to whether the sea lions were going to stabilize at current numbers or whether they were going to increase or further decrease. And if they were increasing at a significant rate, then it'd be quite possible we'd want to review the status of that critical habitat in that particular area. And I think it's just basically good policy to come back and to review some of these areas again to see what impact the critical habitat designation or special use designation or special land classification designation has on lands that are basically set aside. And I know people are concerned about the precedence that this sets, but I think it's important that we do come back and review these from time to time, because once you get land locked up in a specific classification, it's very difficult to change that. Particularly if it's a restrictive classification, it's difficult to change that down the road. So I don't have any problems myself with the concept, and I even talked to other members there. There wouldn't be a bad policy there that if a number of our lands that are in restrictive use be reviewed on a regular basis, even if it's a 25 or even a 50-year program, but they ought to be reviewed to see if that reserve is for its highest and best use.
Thank you, Senator. Would you please let us know the differences between the committee substitute and the other bill in order that we may have the committee substitute before us for testimony?
Okay.
Go ahead and mark up a copy on that.
Okay, Madam Chairman, I had the wrong one here. There was an adjustment, I believe, in the boundaries, and think included in your packet should be a map of the island and the area that was designated as the critical habitat area. And the adjusted boundaries would look something like... Okay, I wish I had a better map to show you on this one.
Right.
But what we've done is we've extended this the southern line further to the west so that it came more perpendicular to an area that was also being included in the critical habitat. And then I've also corrected a section up here in which the drafters were had left out of it. And so it left that this particular line here that went north extended on up to include a little section here that had been left out of previously. And those were the basic changes on the map. And then there was also a section on the CS here that on page two.
Why did you feel, Senator, that you needed to add section 36?
Section 36, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Was that added or deleted? It looks to me like it's added.
It would have been added. And in talking to the department, they felt there that there's a little bit of a valley that comes down in there, and they wanted to have that in there. And I didn't have any particular problems with that.
You mean the seals use a valley?
Well, Madam Chairman, I'm not absolutely convinced there that the activities on the land directly would affect the sea lion, but evidently that there is some concern there that a buffer zone needed to be put in place to protect that. And the special use area that was originally proposed had gone inland much further, and also the actions at the federal level could affect activities on the island that go much beyond the critical habitat boundaries that we have established. So what we have done, we have cut back considerably from where the Department of Fish and Game would prefer that the boundaries be established. And what we've done basically was come up to a ridge point that I have established that was much closer to the ocean than down in the middle of the island. And the other change basically is on page two, Madam Chairman. On line 16, in the original bill, the critical habitat was established to ensure protection and enhancement of fish and wildlife habitat and population, and it said especially marine mammals and seabirds, and we have deleted mammals and seabirds and have included just stellar sea lion because this was the reason for the critical habitat, and it states specifically there that the purpose for this was for the protection of the stellar sea lions. And I think that other concerns would be taken into account there when you're talking about the enhancement and protection of the fish and wildlife habitat and populations. But
that was a recommendation of the department, wasn't it?
No, this was not a recommendation of the department. But we were identifying the purpose, I think, a little bit more clearly. To my estimation, there was no other real problems with other sea mammals or seabirds at this time, but rather that the major focus of this one was to look at the protection of the stellar sea lion. And then section D or subsection D on page two was an addition that was included to state basically that the commissioner shall allow historical, traditional, public uses, including fishing, hunting, trapping, mechanized and non-mechanized public access, grazing, trading, firewood, harvesting, so on, and berry picking, allows those to continue. The department had some problems with that, and we inserted an additional clause, which I understand there that they wanted in here, and that clause there begins on line 26 or 27. That says, to the extent that the activities are compatible with the purposes of which a critical habitat area was established, which is fine. But it does allow the traditional uses to continue.
Well, I hope so. Are there questions of the sponsor of this legislation? Senator Frank?
Yeah, on the...
Use your mic, please. We have... we're teleconferencing this for the benefit of interested person.
I don't know much about sea lions, so I'll just explain my ignorance here. Are the stellar sea lions found in other areas or just in this area?
Madam Chairman, stellar sea lions are prominently located in Alaska, I believe, and Marmot Island has been identified as one of the major rookeries in the Gulf of Alaska. And the there is a map in your folder that identifies the high concentrations of the stellar sea lions on this island, and it shows the areas that appear to be reserved for males only, and then there's a section there that's reserved for all ages, both sexes, a few pups, and then there's a major pupping area, and then basically it shows through the research and observation that's been going on, they have identified certain areas where the sea lions pretty much are, or at least pretty much use the island in this area. And as you can see, it's all along the coast. And the main concern here was if there is a disruption of the population of sea lions, that we want to afford them at least the opportunity to recover. And through the critical habitat, we would be providing the buffer zone around these areas.
It looks like on this map that beaches 5 and 6 aren't used at all at the present time, right? Nor is beach 2.
Well, Madam Chairman, I know Mr. Oswald will testify here, and he has information there that people that have been on the island for some time, that one family has indicated that they were there in the early 40s, and there is no evidence of sea lion at all on the island. So whether they're new to the area, I don't know. But I would imagine there that it all would depend that there have been sightings of sea lion probably around most of that eastern coast of Marmot Island.
Are there questions of the bill sponsor? Senator Frank?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, okay, I know that we're closing the area to mineral entry. Are there other activities that would be discontinued under the... What are we trying to stop from happening, I guess maybe is another way of putting it.
Well, Madam Chairman, I guess part of the concern here, and I think the Department of Fish and Game and also the Department of Natural Resources can address this, but Mr. Oswald has a concern there. He has interest there in developing some of the timber on the island. Most of the timber that is marketable at this point is all on the west side, and if I'm not mistaken, at least 90% and probably 100% of his timber is located outside of the critical habitat area.
Is the private lands or state?
Believe that there are some private lands on there, and also the state-owned land.
Okay, so I assume that is that the primary activity that is, or is that threatening the population? I'm just trying to understand.
Right. Well, Mr. Chairman, or Madam Chairman, Senator Frank, I wish I could say there that this is what was causing the major decline in the sea lion population. I don't know of any activity that's taken place on the island over the last 20 years that may have caused a direct decline in the sea lion population. My feelings are that there are other activities and other reasons are that either the sea lion have disappeared or have moved on to other areas. The Gulf of Alaska has been heavily impacted as a result of the bottom fisheries in the area. Certainly that the bottom fisheries is a major food source for the sea lion. So whether they have moved out as a result of starvation, or moved out in search of new areas for food, or whether they have died due to starvation, we don't know. But at least The feeling is here that if we establish a critical habitat area and protect the areas there which we that have been known as pupping areas, that this may help to at least stabilize the herd where it is now and to cause an increase. Which, if we don't do something now, we feel that the feds are going to come in under the Green Mammal Protection Act and basically mandate what do things here on Marmot Island as well as other islands. This does not preclude them from doing that by any means, but it shows that the state is making an effort to do this. And the reason we've gone out a mile and a half beyond the shore is that most of the trajectory, I guess, of most the rifles, if you will, which people were to shoot at the animals, the range is usually a mile or less. So going restricting activities to within a mile and a half gives us somewhat protection there. I was concerned about going out 3 miles because of the activity of vessels traveling to and from Kodiak in that particular area. And I didn't.
It's what they're stopping on Marmot Island.
Didn't want that to continue there.
Senator Starczulewski.
Madam Chair, just briefly, Senator Zarnoff, why did you propose the critical habitat as opposed to utilizing what DNR was moving ahead with, and that's the designation of the special use area?
I'm sorry?
Why did you propose the critical habitat area as opposed to DNR's designation of the special use area?
Well, part of the boundaries of the special use area, I felt, went too far inland. The restrictive activities from the proposal on the special use area, I think, would have been a lot more restrictive there than putting it through the critical habitat.
You want a motion on adoption of the committee substitute?
Well, yes, I would appreciate that, sir.
I would so move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the committee substitute.
Then the committee substitute as proposed is before us for testimony. With that then, had you completed your testimony, Senator Gerald?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Then we'll go by teleconference to Reed Oswald. Mr. Oswald, are you ready to testify?
Yes, I am, Chairman Fairchamp.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I am. One of the things I'd like to do is start off by giving you a brief history of Marmot Island. The first contact of note was with Zelansky in 1804-1805. He was the first Russian to circumnavigate the world on his journey of 1803-1806. He landed at Cape St. Hermogenes. And it's kind of a joke, he thought he landed on the mainland due to the fog. The next people that of note were on the island was the Samedi Island Fur Company. This was in the early 1900s. And they were the ones that had basically all of the islands in the state of Alaska. It was kind of a combine put together by Congress in Washington, D.C. on fur farming. The information that I'm giving you was given to me by the late Senator Al Owen, who also lived on the island for a period of time, and I'll bring that up as I come to it. The next person that lived on the island was Bob Chamberlain. He was on there first in 1926 and left the island in 1952. His basic use of the island was for a fur farm. He did have grazing, haying, and garden, and homesteaded the island in 1954. That's the 40 acres that is the private land on the island. The late Senator Al Owen and his family were on the island from 1943 till 1945. They were also working in fur farming and in grazing over there. His daughters, Hazel Jones and Genevieve Pearson, have been given me a world of information on the island. And Mrs. Pearson was the one that brought up the fact that in the 40s there were no sea lions on the island at all. The next person that was on the island was John Graham. This was in the early 60s. He was the former mayor of Kenai. And he had ran cattle on the island. The next person to own the property over there was Stan Lee. He's well known to Freddy Jaroff. Stanley was the pilot on the first trip with the Tustamina team in the Kodiak. And the next person was Ken Arndt. He's located in Homer and is a construction person. He bought the 40 from Stanley. Then the next ones to own this parcel was myself, Reed Oswald, and Lenhart Grosey. And we still continue to own it. The map that I have, and I don't know if we're all looking at the same map, I know Senator Fernkamp asked a question about the animals going up inland on the island. If you start at Marmot Cape, at the lower end of, I have a boundary, let's see, proposed critical island, Marmot Island habitat area, with 1.5 mile offshore as of March 30th, 1990. Is this the same one has?
Yes, it is, Reed.
Okay. I would like to bring up to the members there that starting at Marmot Cape around 2, section 6, but that doesn't indicate very well, but that's extremely steep bluff area. It's probably better than a 1-to-1 slope, and it has an elevation of about 700 feet above to the top of the bluff. From section 6 to 31, there is one place there that you can get down on the beach without any problem. Then from 31, I believe it's 30 and 12, there's a 20 to 50 foot bluff all the way along the beach. Clear out, basically out to the northern end of the island. And I really don't have much problem with this critical habitat area as long as they allow the traditional uses in that area. The biggest thing that I see at this point is we have to do something to start something on safeguarding the sea lions or finding out about them. I would like to see a much closer to the bluff line, but then if this boundary seems to be pretty good as far as I'm concerned, and I think it's something that we have to do. Are there any questions? I've been over the island quite a bit, was over there in January. On section, I believe it's section 30, right below Cape St. Hermogenes, there is a cabin that Bob Chamberlain built over there. The cabin itself is pretty well fallen down, but to give you an idea of how many people have been on the island, there's still a pair of long-handled underwear, two pair of pants and a Mackinac jacket, along with two quarters of beef hanging on his porch of the cabin. The tables on the interior looked like they still had the lamps on them when the roof fell off. And the last time he was over there was in about 1950. So that'll give you an idea of the amount of people that are on the island. Nothing has been disturbed over there basically at all. As far as with the timber, I'll go along with what Fred said on that. We would like to enter into timber that's in, would be back from section 6. That's a good stand of timber in there, but then that could be 15 years down the road. There would be no problem with waiting for it. The timber sale that we had over there was for approximately 2 million feet a year. Of course, that's been discharged now, and we have to go through the whole process again. But at that rate, it would take us 55 years to log everything off if we started on one end and went from the other to the other. So that'll give you an idea basically what the island has on it. Are there any questions by anyone? I'd be glad to answer anything.
Are there any questions? There seem to be no questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I would like to thank everyone for allowing me to testify on this, and all I can say is that as long as the traditional and historical uses are allowed in that critical area, I have no problem with it at all.
I'd entertain a motion on the bill if you want to move it out. There's others that wish to testify, but I don't think it's necessary.
Let me just ask one more question. I see we're questioning to maybe the sponsor or anybody that knows. We're closing it to mineral entry. Has there been any mining at all on the island? Doesn't sound like that.
There was a little bit on the, would be in section 19 and section 30. And that was some work that was done by Al Owen. There is a granite intrusion through the center of the island, and there was a little gold out there on those beaches. Now, how much, I don't know.
Gary Gustafson is there. Is he here or is he at another location?
He has stepped out.
Okay. He might respond if you're concerned. Well, quite frankly, with about 14, 15 days to go maximum, we have lots of stuff before us and these bills have a long ways to go. So that's the reason I'm being pushy about some of these things. Otherwise, I think the Resource Committee is, you know, been willing to hear out everybody for as long as it took. But we've got a pretty full calendar, so that's the reason I mentioned it. Okay. I would entertain a motion if you wish to. There's only, and if you don't, that's up to the committee. Fred?
Mr. Chairman, I would move out the committee substitute for Senate Bill 545, resources with individual recommendations.
Without objection, so ordered. Nancy, what's the next thing that you had organized on the calendar?
Thank you, Mr. Oswald.
The next item before us is Senate Bill 430. I'm going to presume, has the committee substitute been adopted by this committee? I believe it has. I know you were working on it. Anyway, there is now continuing on a hearing on the state land management within the Susitna Valley. And is there someone that wishes to testify at this time? I understand Debbie Reinlock is here to testify. Is Debbie here?
Yeah.
Please step forward.
Debbie Reinlock with the Resource Development Council, and primarily the only reason I was going to testify today was to let you know that we have concurred in the changes that have been made and appreciate the work that was done by Senator Faircamp's office and Senator Rohde's office, and would just like to give some hearted support for the bill in that it seems to return the planning process back to how it originally was done, giving the local people a chance to discuss how they would like to see the Susitna area managed, and it also changed the definition of multiple use. And we just wanted to note for the record that we had changed the position on this.
Are there any questions of this witness? You have the floor, Senator.
What were the changes again? CS Incorporated?
Actually, there was another CS, too. The original bill, from the original bill?
No, not from the original.
Okay.
No. Just from as it came out.
Just speaking to this committee substitute.
Right. They got rid of the legal description. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
The legal
sure.
description. And then the changes in the section 1, down here under B, the definition of multiple use.
I know that we included in CNRA that we wrote this area.
Right.
So that isn't changed from CNRA,
but no.
Those two are not changed from CNRA.
Correct.
What was changed from CNRA? So we're consistent with that previous bill that we passed out? Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Bill Glued. Stay here. You have the floor, and would you please identify yourself again, Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bill Glued from the Alaska Environmental Lobby. We're speaking today in support of this legislation. We'd urge you to pass it out. We do have...
Are you in support of the committee substitute?
We are in support of it, however, we do have a problem with the multiple use language, which I think given the time in the session, we would be happy to work with that on the House side. The limitation to all resources and not excluding compatible competing uses does have some legal problems with the interpretation of multiple use and does not track with the multiple use definitions that are customary in federal law and in law in other states.
This is Barbara.
But our preference would be to work on that as it goes along and to speed it on its way at this time. Thank you.
Senator Rohde, I see you here. Would you join us at the table? Senator Rohde, are you in support of the committee substitute?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a motion to adopt the committee substitute? You have the floor, Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move for the adoption of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 430.
Objection, so ordered. Is there a motion on the bill?
Chairman, are you...
I'm ready to entertain it.
Okay. I would move committee substitute for Senate Bill 430, resources out of committee with individual recommendations.
Objection, so ordered. That takes before us Mental Health Trust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
On the floor, are there people wish to testify?
I do my most effective work on a matter of committee.
We have before us Senate Bill 493. David Schumacher, is he here or is he on the? These are people that wish to testify from the audience. David Schumacher, is he here?
No, I haven't signed to testify.
Bob Irvine.
I'm here, but I didn't want to testify at this time.
All right.
Let you know I was here.
Nobody wishes here on this group, so it's David Walker. I presume that my counsel, friend of counsel, wish to testify. You have the floor, David. There are others that may wish to. We are a problem.
Senator, for the record, I'm David Walker, lead counsel for the beneficiaries in the Mental Health Trust Lands litigation of YSP State. I signed up to testify near the bottom of that list so that I could be available to answer any questions that you've had and questions that may be raised by other testimony. I know that recently Commissioner Gorsuch did testify before the commission. Haven't had the opportunity to review those remarks, and so I really won't try. I just prefer to let the Interim Mental Health Trust Commission report speak for itself about what it said and the committee can draw their inferences from that work and from Commissioner Gorsuch.
And you're satisfied with the legislation now existing and is before us?
With the committee substitute, Senator, I am, and I urge its passage.
Thank you. Ben Scholl. We're recommending brevity today.
I hope that's not a contradiction.
I hope that's not a contradiction with my name.
I'll try and be
brief. Are you going to bring it? Not let me have it.
We don't have a committee substitute.
Do we have a bill?
Yes, we do.
Are we ready to move the bill?
I don't believe so.
I am. Get me the bill. Gone. You have the floor.
Perhaps with that sentiment, I should just end my testimony. I just have a little bit of material that I'll present. Once again, a motion from the Mental Health Board that I work for. I'm executive director that is in support of the intent of the legislation, and then also just some other material that, for me as a psychologist, kind of wrestled with over and over again in this land business. I've served as an alternate to the commission for a good long time. A lot of the discrepancy between the approved procedures that Dr. Rogers has explained to you before gives me some hang-up on appraisal terminology. I had recently had an opportunity to read a book called Selling Your House Without a Broker, and it cites the same source as DNR cites for talking about how you appraise land. And real simple for folks like me, points out that appraiser uses one of these methods to value property and explains the value indicated by recent sales of comparable property, second, the value of the property's net earning power will support, and the very next paragraph says the second method is used on income producing properties, which is what the properties for the mental health land were intended to be. So it would seem that that would be the appropriate method of fair market appraisal to use, as Dr. Rogers explained repeatedly. Also, because there seemed to be some confusion about the changes to procedures that the Trust Commission went through, resurrected from my files the approved outline, or the outline presented to us about 2 years ago. Actually, I kind of pled over and over again to have DNR produce this outline of a sequence of events And even this one that was presented in November 2 years ago needed some improvements to it to be the procedure approved by the commission. And before certain steps in here got done, we got lopped off. Things such as doing an independent RFP for economic evaluation and some other steps. And the last thing I've presented is just a list of some of the duties of a trustee in terms of the administration of a trust, and underlines some key ones that in my reading of some of the material of what's happened both in the Supreme Court decision and otherwise, it's represented this compilation of works that we put together and looking at it. The Supreme Court and other court decisions have pointed out the errors in those duties that the state has inadvertently exercised over the years. Perhaps the solution is to really take a good hard look later at getting yourself a trustee or whatever to assist the legislature over time with this. Hopefully with this information, it sticks with the sentiment you've expressed earlier, Senator.
We'll proceed. The teleconference sites have been arranged for. The first one is Matt Sue. Is Charlotte there?
Senator Cotullo, I personally wish to observe. Thank you.
Fine. Then we'll go to Anchorage. Jim Godstein, are you there on Senate Bill 493?
Yes, Senator Cotullo, thank you very much. In the interest of brevity, I too just wanted to be available for questions, and I'll stand by for that if you have any, if that's your pleasure.
Counselor, are you aware of the committee substitute that's about to be proposed? It's not ready, and it hasn't been completely drafted yet.
Haven't been. We've been trying to find out what was being developed, and no one. And until now, I wasn't even sure that anything was being developed.
I think there will be something developed, but I wasn't sure whether you were aware or involved in it. All right, then there are apparently others that wish to testify. There's no observer from Kodiak today. Now, I noticed that there are observers from Anchorage and apparently none from Fairbanks today. Is there one to testify from Fairbanks?
I believe there is one to testify.
There's Fran. Are you in Fairbanks? My understanding is you wish to testify.
I am the Deputy Director for Access Alaska. Our agency is one of those who provides services to many persons who qualify under the definitions outlined in the Mental Health Trust Report. I'm here today to urge your support of the substitute Senate Bill 493 as it is written. I just heard a little bit of conversation about a new committee substitute, so I'm not sure if the one I have is the latest. I believe the commission worked hard and it presented a fair value of the land selected by the state under the Alaska Mental Health Enabling Act. Your leadership is needed now to settle this issue and provide a funding base that will support mental health services to Alaskans in the years ahead. Please complete your debate today on this bill and pass it to finance. Thank you very much.
Are there people further from Anchorage that wish to testify? There's a bit of confusion down here with the list, but Dave Walker, do you wish to make a statement?
Thank you, Senator.
Again, I'm interested in brevity.
Yeah, this will be real brief. When I said that I spoke in favor of the committee substitute, the only committee substitute that I was aware of at all is the Hess Committee substitute for this bill, which has been before you at various hearings. If there's another one, I haven't seen it and don't know where it's from or any of the terms. I'm not aware of it, so I'm not speaking in substitute of whatever that bill is, in support of that bill.
Thank you very much. There, in fact, is not one at this time. But the Senate process is one of continuously writing amendments to substitutes.
You do not have anyone to testify. Thank you.
No one else to testify? Are any of the sites have any further person to testify? Does Juno have anyone that wishes to testify? We're adjourned. Oh, one moment. You wish to testify? Please come forward and identify yourself.
I'm Bob Irvine, Director of the Matsu Community Counseling Center, and also President of the Alaska Mental Health Program Directors Association. And our association is in favor of the substitute that was before you before in terms of the evaluation figure, and I too urge you to act in an expeditious fashion to help settle this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Irvine. There's no further action on this bill today. I believe, though, the committee will dispatch it and we'll work on it and probably have it ready for final, but first the week. That's my understanding. I don't speak for the chairman, but that's my estimate. We're adjourned.